From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
City of Old Slough has four lengths on Run Dusty Run. It's Run Dusty Run in second and San Edmund third. They're gearing the finish line. It's still Seattle Slough, and he's opened it up to 4.5.
Easy Goer gets clear by 4. Sunday Silence remains in second. Le Voyageur, the horse from France, is third. It's New York's Easy Goer in front.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's been 26 years. It's just one furlong away. Birdstone is an upside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning. And once again, welcome to the show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, happy to have all of you tuning in across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and everyone joining us digitally. You're doing that on our website at horseracingradio.net. Nice touch by my producer, Lee Delapina, with the open Belmont Stakes Day open. I should be saying happy Belmont Stakes Day. I mean, not really. That's how I expected to open this show earlier this year. But instead, I can say happy Santa Anita Derby Day on this sixth day of June 2020. Not April, but June. Just another sign of the ever-changing, bizarro world that we are all living in right now. The Santa Anita Derby has produced 18 Kentucky Derby winners. And three of the last eight Kentucky Derby winners all used the Santa Anita Derby as a springboard to the roses. You had I'll Have Another in 2012, California Chrome 2 years later in 2014, and then Justify in 2018. All three of them won the Santa Anita Derby before wearing the roses at Churchill Downs. Now, keep in mind, as I throw out these stats, and we're going to hear a lot of statistics over the coming months, this year's Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown will bear the same names. They'll bear the Kentucky Derby name and the Triple Crown name, but there really is nothing even remotely comparable with this year's Derby and Triple Crown to the events that we've become accustomed to in the spring. The three-year-olds that are going to compete in these races are going to be much more developed, both physically and mentally, in the fall than they would have been in the spring. Keep in mind, that's the time of year that we're usually talking about three-year-olds testing themselves against older horses in races like the Pacific Classic, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, the Awesome Again Stakes. You know, then you have the changes in the spacing of the races, the order of the races, and the distance of the most demanding of the three Triple Crown races. So as we examine the different historical statistics and the trends in regards to the Derby and the Triple Crown, take them with a grain of salt here in 2020, because we are really, truly comparing apples to oranges. It's not even close. Now, with that said, the three-race series will undoubtedly create some interesting races and some fantastic betting opportunities. In my opinion, regardless of when these classic races, these classic three-year-old races are run, New York bred Tis the Law clearly stands above all of the others. You might disagree, but when you look at his resume and everything and the way he has done it, the professionalism that he has shown, Tis the Law, in my opinion, clearly above everybody else. But you know, the beauty of our sport, and let's face it, at the very core of thoroughbred racing, the very core, the beauty of it is the adage that my horse is faster than your horse. That is the foundation that this entire sport and industry is built upon. And the only way to determine which horse is faster than another horse is on the racetrack. That's the beauty of it all. 'Tis the law. He's been brilliant. But in fairness to his competition, Charlatan has done nothing wrong. Not only is he a perfect 3 for 3, nobody has been in within 5 3/4 lengths of him at the wire in those 3 victories. He's dominated the competition. Maxfield has also yet to taste defeat. He's 3 for 3, and he showed us an awful lot. I mean, an awful lot in his return to the races at Churchill on May 23rd. He looks like a horse who has both the mental and the physical fortitude to give the other 3-year-olds all they can handle. And I know that trainer Brendan Walsh is probably happy that the Kentucky Derby has moved to September. He would have been hard-pressed. I don't think he would have made it. If it was the first Saturday in May, I don't think you would have seen Maxfield in that group beneath the Twin Spires. And, you know, we don't know which way the connections of Maxfield will choose to go in regards to the Belmont Stakes 2 weeks from today. We still await that decision. But if Charlatan and 'Tis the Law are in the same starting gate of what is now a 1 1/8 race, as opposed to the traditional 1 1/2 test of the champion, that will provide some great theater. And great radio, by the way. HRN, proud to say that we will once again be providing exclusive radio coverage of the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 20th. And we'll do that in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports Audio. We'll bring you coverage of all 3 Triple Crown races, as a matter of fact. Coverage of the Belmont Stakes, presented by Red Brand Fence and Twin Spires. And you can join us starting at 3 o'clock Eastern that day as we take you all the way through the 152nd Belmont Stakes. And oh, by the way, the Belmont, now a Kentucky Derby points race, a Derby prep, if you will. A win and you're in for the Run for the Roses, with 150 Derby points going to the winner. Yeah, like I said, it's a bizarre world, and we're all just living in it right now. And speaking of winning your ends, the road to the Breeders' Cup continues this afternoon with the Grade 1 Run Happy Carter Handicap at Belmont. The winner punching their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Sprint, Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahey, is going to saddle 3-1 morning line favorite Performer in the 11-horse field. He's also going to send out last year's Kentucky Derby runner-up and Jockey Club Gold Cup winner, Code of Honor, who makes his 4-year-old debut earlier on the card at Belmont in the Grade 3 Westchester. And I'm going to visit with Shug coming up at 8:35 Eastern time this morning. Whenever you get a chance to visit with Shug McGahey and you get a chance to tap into it, I'm sure that we'll talk about Easy Goer for a few minutes with this supposed to be Belmont Stakes Day. But whenever you get a chance to visit with Shug and you just put the ball on the tee and he takes it and runs with it. And his memory, his mind is so sharp that he walks you back through almost every step that horse would take or did take in those particular races and in his training leading up to those races or her training. I've done it with Personal Ensign with him. You just throw a name out there and you let Shug go. He's fantastic. And I'll talk to him at 8:35 Eastern. Can't wait for that visit. Somebody else who is pretty darn good at recalling some memorable moments is owner Jack Knowlton of Funny Side fame, Sakatoga Stables. And he's hoping to also become famous for owning a horse by the name of 'Tis the Law. And he's going to be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So we'll look back on Funny Side, his run through that Triple Crown. We'll also talk to him about 'Tis the Law and look ahead to the Belmont Stakes in 2 weeks. 'Tis the Law expected to be the favorite in that race. Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine, going to join me at 9:20 Eastern time to talk about the long-awaited return of racing at his track, which happens this afternoon with an 11-race card, first post, 1 p.m. Of course, Woodbine welcomed back Standardbred Racing last night, Woodbine Mohawk. That's great news. And by the way, speaking of racetracks opening their doors, we've been talking about it for the past few weeks as more and more tracks are allowed to open. And now, more and more tracks, including Churchill Downs and Laurel and Gulfstream and Santa Anita, now allowed to welcome back owners. Baby steps, one step at a time. But the owners will now have an opportunity to be on site to watch their horses run, which is fantastic. And I know that's going to be welcome news to my final guest this morning. He is owner Lee Searing of CRK Stable. He's going to be up early in California. He'll be here toward the end of the program, right around 9:40 Eastern, to talk about his talented three-year-old Honor AP, who will get a rematch with Authentic in today's Santa Anita Derby. Really looking forward to that visit at 9:40 Eastern time. Question of the day. Since this is supposed to be Belmont Stakes Day and the end of the Triple Crown, what is your favorite Belmont Stakes Day memory? Last week on this show, I asked you to share your favorite memories, but this is different. This is specific. What is your favorite Belmont Stakes Day memory? And I personally have three. Hard to pare it down to just one. I'm asking you to do that. But if you have a couple, go ahead and share a couple. You can do that at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. For me, Thunder Gulch in 1995 is one that comes to mind. It was my first official date with my wife, Michelle. Yeah, that was my pickup line. Hey, baby, got an extra ticket to the Belmont. You want to go? It was her first time attending a horse race. And we had a blast, the 1995 Belmont and Thunder Gulch. Rags to Riches, 2007, I'll never forget that one. Our first ever national radio broadcast here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and the filly beating the boys, beating Curlin in that stirring stretch battle. And then, of course, American Pharoah in 2015, being able to sit there above the finish line at Belmont and for our team here on HRN to broadcast the first Triple Crown in nearly four decades was really special. So those are the three that stand out to me. But that's the question of the day. What is your favorite Belmont Stakes Day memory? Can be the race, can be a moment you shared with a friend, with a family member, whatever it is. I want to hear from you at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and I'll try to pass along those answers as we move throughout the program. All right, so a very busy show. Shug McGahee, Jack Knowlton, Jim Lawson, and Lee Searing all set to join me. But when I come back, I will talk with the self-proclaimed beast of the Belmont, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who you know from our Red Brand radio programs during the week. I'll talk to him, and we'll share some more Belmont memories coming up right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The Florida thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, and what a successful 75 it has been. Florida breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, while along the way making 170 racehorse millionaires and garnishing 66 Eclipse Awards. Most recently, Florida bred Starship Jubilee was named Canada's Horse of the Year. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I'm listening to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Rags to Riches is coming with a four-wide sweep, and Tiago is in behind them. And at the top of the stretch, a filly is in front of the Belmont, but Carlin is right there with her. These two in a battle of the sexes in the Belmont Stakes. It is Carlin on the inside, Rags to Riches on the outside. A desperate finish, Rags to Riches and Carlin. They're coming down to the wire. It's going to be very close, and it's going to be a filly in the Belmont. Rags to Riches has beaten Carlin and 100 years of Belmont history. The first filly to win it in over a century.
How good was that call? Tom Durkin with the call of the 2007 running of the Test of the Champion and Rags to Riches certainly proved herself a champion that day. Curlin all heart in defeat, but Rags to Riches, Todd Pletcher, John Velasquez, Michael Tabor, Derek Smith. What a combination and what a race. Again, that was our first ever national radio broadcast here on HRN, and what a way to kick off what has become now 13 years of providing you with live racing coverage on radio. And Rags to Riches, a day that I will never forget. And I know the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who I told you you can catch every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with Red Brand Radio here on the network and other programs. Well, Anthony will never forget that day and so many other Belmonts. He calls himself the Beast of the Belmont. Things are a little bit different this year, Beast. The first leg of the Triple Crown, late June, mile and an eighth. Are we still the Beast? What's the deal?
Yeah, we're always the Beast, Baron. As soon as the Belmont starts to pop its head up, the Beast came back Wednesday, which was one of the more least traditional opening days in the history of Belmont Park. We got off the bat on Wednesday here in New York, and I can tell you, Big Sandy was a sight for sore eyes after 79 days without being at the racetrack. The last time I was at the track was to clean the office out at Aqueduct, and Aqueduct looked like it was an abandoned building. We were getting ready to turn Aqueduct into a hospital to help with the COVID-19 patients. They were already doing some COVID testing at Aqueduct, and I remember walking out of there and saying to myself, man, the next time I walk into a racetrack, hopefully we'll be over at Belmont, and I hope I can get this, you know, this feeling out of my body. And it was great being over there for a little while on Wednesday. And yeah, Belmont Stakes, not a traditional one this year. Going to cut back in distance, run it a couple of weeks later, mostly out of necessity, obviously, but still going to be a great race. And we'll kick off the Triple Crown and the Big Apple this year instead of wrapping it up.
Yeah, it's all different. I call it Bizarro World. I said it a couple of times in the first part of the show. If people don't know what that is, Google it. You'll figure out what Bizarro World means. But everything's topsy-turvy, upside down this year. The first time that the Belmont has been the first leg of the Triple Crown. And Big A, kind of give us a preview of what we might be looking forward to seeing 2 weeks from today in the Belmont Stakes. Who's going to be there? The main players outside of a horse like Tis the Law, who we already know about.
Yeah, Tis the Law, of course, looking for some Saratoga revenge 17 years later. I would think Charlatan for Bob Baffert is going to be there. You know, Bob was, and he still has a very strong hand. It was Nadal and Charlton originally, and then the things started to come apart a couple of weeks ago. Nadal, with the condylar fracture, forced to retire. The buzz about Charlton and the possible positive down at Oaklawn in the Arkansas Derby. And Bob had even wavered on Charlton, maybe thinking about cutting him back to 7/8 in the Woody Stevens. I think a lot of people feel like Charlton's going to have some sort of distance limitations at some point. He took the mile and an eighth very easily in the Arkansas Derby when he was never threatened. We'll see what he does with Charlton. I would think now with Nadal gone, Authentic set to run today in the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby out at the Great Race Place. And, the one that might be even being more talked about than any of the other three-year-olds today is Cezanne, who's going to debut in race number six for about $3.65 million Coolmore and Vinny Viola's St. Elias stable. So I would think Charlton's going to go. Maxfield, we are still waiting for Brendan Walsh. They obviously have the Bluegrass as another option. And the fact that he won the Breeders' Futurity last year over that course at Keeneland maybe gives him a little bit more time. I know that was something that Brendan had talked about when they postponed the Derby. Well, now I have some more time. It's very rare in this game that things like this happen. And I almost feel like the Derby, because it's Godolphin, is probably what they want most. And I think Brendan's job is to get Maxfield there and not worry about the Triple Crown. I honestly believe that when it comes to Maxfield. It's probably the only horse I think that about. So, me personally, I think he belongs in the Belmont Stakes. And they're the three main players. Sol Volante was being bandied about as a name that was coming, and then he all of a sudden, along with Ate Indien, his stablemate over at Patrick Leoncone's barn, they're both in an allowance race on Wednesday at Gulfstream Park. Now, I don't know if one of them scratches, namely Sol Volante, but kind of a surprise entry into that allowance race. So those are the four main players if they all show up.
I can tell you in regards to that, that is by design. They are running him in that race as a prep for the Belmont Stakes in 2 weeks. So he'll be 10 days out with a prep 10 days before. Old school approach by the connections of Sol Volante.
Old school approach, and that'll be two turns to one turn. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people are, I don't think anybody's given that enough attention. There's a big difference between one turn and two turn. Now, a two-turn mile and a half we never see. On the dirt in America. We see it a couple of times a year, a handful of times, namely at Belmont, the Belmont Stakes and the Brooklyn Invitational. I don't think we're running the Brooklyn this year. The one turn is big because, you know, if you think about it this way, the mile and an eighth chute, Baron, there's a 5-furlong run, straight run to the far turn. 5 furlongs.
Yep.
We don't see that anywhere in America. Nowhere in America. It's a 5-furlong run on the dirt anyway to the far turn. I think from all my years watching these races out of the chutes here at Belmont and at Aqueduct, especially those mile and an eighth races, it has to favor horses coming from off the pace. It's so hard to sustain your speed for so long on the front end. I think it favors the horses from off the pace. You got Todd Fletcher's going to run a couple. Looks like Farmington Road. That's a horse at a price who would probably benefit from that mile, the one turn mile and eighth. Dr. Post won the Unbridled down at Gulfstream Park for Todd as well. So they're coming. Governor Morris, who's been knocking at the door in some of these big races for the 3 year olds. So right now, there's the field looks like it's between 12 and 13, I would not be surprised, especially if Maxfield doesn't show up, if we fill the starting gate and there's 16 in there in 2 weeks.
Yeah, either way, obviously you can't call it the test of the champion anymore. It's not the mile and a half grueling, demanding test that it normally would be. But look, it's still the Belmont Stakes. Even if it's just in name only, it's still the Belmont Stakes. Things are different this year, but it will create a great betting race. And if you're not sold on Tis the Law, I said earlier I think he's head and shoulders above everybody else. If you're not sold on Tis the Law, you're going to get some opportunities to fire away at some really, really big prices.
Wait, you're on Tis the Law too?
Is too much weight to carry between you and I?
Oh, my God. I didn't know. Sign me up. The beast is going to have to go back into the lair and figure things out again. Yeah,
We've never been on the same page with the Belmont Stakes. Never.
I'm with you. I'm a big fan of that horse. I've been a fan since day one. While we sitting at the perch at Saratoga watching him break the maiden.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch horses like him and Charlatan, you know, it's funny, during the whole Charlatan the Doll debate, I was Team Charlatan. He just does everything so effortlessly. Tis the Law, the one thing that bothers me is every time he makes the lead, it looks like he starts to lug in. And it looks to me like it's a little bit of a behavioral thing. You can get away with that in the allowance races. I mean, he did it in the Champaign. And the fact that he has the race at Belmont certainly helps, I think. And based on the fact that he's going to run out of his stall, that helps as well. That's the one thing that bugs me. Every time he makes a lead, he starts to drift in a little bit. It just looks like it's something. I don't want to say he gets lazy because he runs through the wire. I just don't like. That's the only thing not to like. I mean, it really is the only thing not to like. He probably doesn't love a wet track based on what I saw on the KJC, but anything else, I mean, I don't know. And you know, again, one turn, he's going to be laying 3-4 lengths off the lead. I mean, I think he's the goods. I think this is absolutely positively his race to lose, whether Maxfield or Charlton show up.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. And I'm going to talk to Jack Knowlton coming up 9 o'clock Eastern, the owner of Saratoga Stables, who, of course, are the owners of Tis the Law. We'll talk to him about the likely favorite for the Belmont Stakes coming up in 2 weeks. Again, that coverage coming here on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with NBC Sports Audio. It all kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern. You can tune in 3 to 6 Eastern time, presented by Red Brand Fence and Twin Spires. All right, Big A, just a couple of minutes left here before I have to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf, but I've asked people on Twitter, and the responses are coming in quickly, at HRN on Twitter, to share their favorite Belmont Stakes memories. And I know you were lobbying hard for a tonalist rejoin clip to lead into your interview. I went with Rags to Riches instead, mainly because you asked me for tonalist. So I went to Rags to Riches. But your thoughts on your favorite Belmont Stakes memories?
My two favorite Belmont Stakes were 2 days I was not at the Belmont Stakes. And it was my favorite race of all time is the 1989 Belmont Stakes when Easy Goer crushed Sunday Silence to prove who the better three-year-old was. And I was in a New York City OTB because we had a flood in my basement. So I was at New York City OTB when Easy Goer manhandled Sunday Silence. And I was at Mohegan Sun doing my virtual racing race calls when Tonalist it was a photo finish that goes to Tonalist. He got his head down over commissioner. It was my first Belmont at the network. Gave out the exacta on the weekend stakes preview. And $348, made an awful lot of money, had an awful lot of fun. A year and a half later, when you guys stuck with me through my vocal cord problems and everything, when he won the Cigar Mile, it was probably the most important professional moment of my career. I kind of lost a little steam, and he got up and won that Cigar Mile. The little A, Acacia Courtney, was next to me. She said she's never seen somebody root without rooting because I couldn't talk, and he became a very important horse to me. So Easy Goer and Tonalist, those two Belmonts were the ones that will stick in my head forever.
Yeah, Easy Goer was another special one for me. I'm going to talk with his trainer, Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, in the next segment, right about 8:35 Eastern. And I tell Shug all the time that he's responsible in a lot of ways for getting me hooked on the sport, because Easy Goer was the first horse that I ever fell in love with in thoroughbred racing, and it really just catapulted me into a deep love and passion for this sport. But I'll talk to Shug here coming up in just a few minutes. Before I let you go, quickly, and I know I can do this with you because you can handle it, you've already handicapped the program for today. Big card, 4 graded stakes on the program, including the grade 1 win in your in, Run Happy Carter. Your thoughts, give me a winner or two that folks can go bet on today on that Belmont card.
important, Mike, those four stakes races, the races 6 through 11, is a mandatory payout in the Empire 6 at Belmont today. And all four stakes, which you can listen to on the Weekend Stakes preview presented by Naira Best when Equine Forum's over on podcast, I think the Unhappy Carter goes to the performer. Speaking of Shug, I'm a big fan of his. Been waiting for him to kind of step into the limelight. He got his first graded stakes win in November in the Discovery. He held off Tax going a mile and an eighth. Coming back going 7 furlongs, something that's always tough to do, but I think this horse, speaking of Easy Goer, you take a look at him, he's a big old chestnut. He looks a lot like my boy Easy Goer. I like Performer a lot. I think Mind Control is probably the only horse that can beat him. I think Code of Honor at a mile and a 16th, it might be a little tough for him today. I also think that's kind of a two-horse race. I'm going to go with my man Bill Martin and Doris to he took over from Kieran before his last start, an allowance race win at Oaklawn Park. Joel Rosario from the rail, maybe Payne to get involved there as well. Looking forward to Newspaper of Record coming back in the Intercontinental and a wide-open Fort Marcy. An unbelievable card at Big Sandy today.
Yeah, huge card today. And Big A, appreciate you being here to break it all down. And we'll talk here in a couple of weeks for sure with the Belmont Stakes.
Beast, Darren. It's the Beast.
Beast out here on Horse Racing Radio Network. And again, check out Anthony, Bobby Newman. They bring you coverage of Red Brand Radio 3 to 6 Eastern every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then Friday afternoons, that Naira Betts Weekend Stakes Preview. Anthony and Bobby take a look at all the big races every weekend, and that's podcast right now on our website, horseracingradio.net. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When I come back, it's Hall of Famer Shug McGahee. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
The World Championship of Thoroughbred Racing was on the line at the lovely, majestic Longchamp Racecourse just outside Paris on October 3rd, 1965, when the most prestigious Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe was about to unfold. And what a star-studded fielder was on hand to contest it. Meadow Court from Ireland, Oncidium from England, Aniline from the Soviet Union, Ragazzo, Soderini, Diatomy, Reliance, Caliph, Marco Visconti, Francis Great Seabird, the Big Chestnut, Little Tom Rolfe from America, and Free Ride, who was an entry with Diatomy. A huge crowd had gathered at the glorious Longchamp Racecourse, which in all its splendor was among the aesthetically most beautiful in the world. It exuded class, and there was class aplenty on the racetrack to match it on this day. In the paddock, Seabird, the big local favorite, looked somewhat skittish and was sweating, as was Reliance, although it was a very warm day and the sun was beating down. Tom Rolfe, the American entry, was calm and created a stir among the crowd as he was ponied during the post-parade to the start. French racegoers had not been accustomed to that practice at their races. Oncidium, the English horse, was showing signs of nervousness. Aniline, the Russian entry, was very businesslike, calm, and quiet. At the starting post, Oncidium caused some problems, but the rest of the field lined up in perfect order. At the break, Marco Visconti went right to the front. Caliph picked up to chase, and Meadow Court and Aniline were up near the front as well. Seabird, with Australian Pat Glennon in the saddle, and Reliance, with a renowned Yves Saint-Martin up, were well-rated, in no difficulty, running fifth and sixth. They were obviously stalking the leaders, waiting for the right time to make that one big run. The going was on the soft side of Longchamp that day, and America's Tom Rolfe was showing definite signs of difficulty in handling it. He was far back and never really got into the hunt, so to speak. As the field rounded the bend and started for home at the top of the stretch, Glennon let loose on Seabird, and he chewed up huge pieces of turf with long, smooth strides until he veritably flew by the front quartet to assume command at the top of the straight to pull out to an open six-length lead. That incredible display of speed had shot him forward as though propelled by a rocket. Saint-Martin asked his mount Reliance for a move at the same time Seabird moved, but there was no way he could stay with the flying French chestnut. Seabird maintained the margin to win by six open lengths over the previously unbeaten Reliance, and it was another five back to Diatomy with Free Ride fourth and Aniline fifth. Seabird had turned in a phenomenal effort, totally dominating the other 19 horses in the field, and he was now to be compared with the famous Rebeau. After retirement from the racetrack, Seabird came to stand at stud in America for John W. Galbraith, and as a consequence, his legacy lives on in the world of American racing. That performance, October 3rd, 1965 at Longchamp in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, was indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
First crop two-year-olds by Airdrie Studs Upstart are the talk of the industry. At the OBS March sale, all six offered were sold for an average of $260,000, a spectacular return on his $10,000 stud fee. The $600,000 sale-topping colt out of Blue Burrow was one of two upstarts purchased by leading agent Mike Ryan, who said, "We won't find a better horse this year." Upstart has sired 101 first crop juveniles of 2020 and stands at Airdrie Stud for $10,000 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Sunday Silence draws alongside Le Voyageur. Those two have a length and a half on Easy Goer. Easy Goer now makes a move. They round the far turn. Sunday Silence takes the lead by a neck. Le Voyageur on the rail on the outside. Easy Goer. Easy Goer on the outside takes over now by a half. And Sunday Silence is second. Le Voyageur is back into third. They're in the stretch. It's Easy Goer on the outside, getting clear now by two. Sunday Silence remains in second. Le Voyageur on the rail is third. Easy Goer gets clear by four. Sunday Silence remains in second. Le Voyageur, the horse from France, is third. It's New York's Easy Goer in front.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Here in the month of June, Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. New York's Easy Goer getting the victory in the Belmont Stakes in 1989, and that was a special one for Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, no doubt, and for so many fans around the world and across the country. Shug is closing in on 2,100 career victories. He currently stands at 2,097, three shy of that milestone mark, and he is with me now here on HRRN. Shug, first of all, good morning, my friend. Thanks for spending a little time.
Okay, Mike, good morning.
So what do you figure, Shug, since 1989, what's the over-under on the number of times that you've heard that call on radio or seen that race on TV and watched the replay?
I hadn't watched the replay that much. Probably over under on that would be 10. But, you know, you always were reminded, you know, especially I think last year was 30 years, so there was a lot of commotion about that. So I did see a lot of back and forth on that. But, you know, it's fond memories.
Now, you've had so many memorable moments in your Hall of Fame career, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2004. When you do think back on some of those top moments, Shug, what are some of the moments that stand out most to you?
Well, you know, of course, his career was big, and personal instance, Breeders' Cup, you know, was to retire undefeated. But, you know, I hate to kind of thin it down. I mean, last year's Travelers was a lot of fun. You know, the Alabamas that we've been able to win have all been fun. Lure was great, hugely talented horse, fast. A lot of fun with him. And, you know, Seeking the Goal was 110% horse, and, you know, a couple of noses kept him from being quite something, but those couple of noses were 49er, and he was pretty darn good in his own right. So it wasn't like we were getting beat. But, you know, today's a new day.
Yeah, today's a new day and some new stars on the horizon. I would imagine, too, being a native of Kentucky, that horse by the name of Orb turned out to be pretty special, too.
Well, the Derby speaks for itself. You know, that was quite a winter in spring with him. So it was a lot of fun, and you know, something I'll never forget that day.
Well, let's start with the two horses who are in the Greatest Stakes later today at Belmont Park. You bring back Code of Honor in the Grade 3 Westchester, and then you have Performer, the 3-1 morning line favorite in the Grade 1 Run Happy Carter Handicap. Start
right,
with
well,
Code of
start
Honor.
There and, because he's scratched. Performer.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah, he's okay. Scratched. He's nothing big, but yesterday or something, he must have jammed his ankle. Galloping, x-rayed, he's clean. He's 90% this morning, but obviously we can't run him. But we'll see how he comes along the next few days, and then we'll try to pick out a spot for him.
All right, well, let's get him past these little issues and then get him back to the races. Yeah. Let's talk about Code of Honor then. You get the runner-up in the Kentucky Derby last year and last year's Jockey Club Gold Cup winner back for his 4-year-old debut. Take me back through the past few months. What's he been doing?
Well, he had a great winter. You know, we gave him a good while off this winter in Kentucky. I wanted him to be up there where, you know, it was a change in weather and got cold after the beer. He went straight there and came to me 1st of February. And, you know, he's done everything right. Since then, he came up here at Belmont. He's had a couple of solid works up here. And, you know, I think that, we're really looking forward to running him today to get him started.
I know, Shug, that things have been kind of, to say the least, a bit out of sync this year with the racing schedule. But was this always the plan to get him back sometime around the beginning of June?
Yes, it was. You know, I mean, with Performer, you know, he was going to run in the Carter on Wood Day, but the Westchester usually is on opening day at Belmont, which would have been April the 26th, but he wouldn't have made that. So 1st of June was what I was pointing for. You know, I didn't know exactly what would be there, but, you know, when the time came, I'd find something, and then this worked out perfect.
Are you seeing any differences in him from a 3-year-old now to his 4-year-old season?
Well, I mean, obviously he has grown up a bit physically. It's possible to be a little bit more aggressive and just being around him day by day. And, you know, we'll just have to see this afternoon if he's improved or not improved. But he sure has acted like that. You know, he's on the right track with the way he worked at Payson this winter. And then his two works up here. I thought his work here last Monday was about as good as I've seen him go. So I got my fingers crossed, and I'm looking forward to it.
You know, so much has been made this year, Shug, about the Kentucky Derby having to move to the fall because of the COVID-19 situation here in our country. And many trainers have said, well, you know what, that's fine because I have a horse that's a late developer and I'm going to need more time to get him ready. So it is what it is. But if that were the case last year with Code of Honor, he was only 2.5 lengths behind the eventual winner, Maximum Security, and he ran a huge race in Louisville. If you had more time and the Derby was in September, obviously we know what he did in the fall in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Do you think he would have won the Kentucky Derby? I mean, it's hard to say, but would he have been maybe even a little bit closer?
Well, I don't know whether he had won or not, but, I mean, he was a lot better horse in September last year than he was in May, you know, just maturity-wise and all that type of stuff, you know. And I think that, you know, Johnny, you know, learned the more he rode him, the more he learned about how to ride him. And so I would have thought we would have had a lot better shot, you know, if this September had been last September, we would have had a lot better shot than we did last year, even though he came into the Derby in great shape.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to ask you that question, Shug. The difference between a three-year-old in May and a three-year-old in September, talk about that difference in their mental and physical development. How significant are those 4 months?
Well, I mean, the one thing about him is he was a late May foal. So, you know, he was an immature three-year-old at that time. You know, he hadn't even turned three, really. And so I think that, you know, just that with him, that little bit of time period of growing up now, you know, some of them are as good as they are going to be and when they're young two-year-olds. And, you know, also, you know, earlier in the three-year-old year, that might be the best that they're gonna be. But in the case of a horse like him, that wasn't the case.
Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Shug, I know you have a lot of things to do this morning, so I won't keep you. But all the best with Code of Honor, and we'll look forward to Performer when he gets back in action very, very soon.
Well, this is just a little setback, I think. I don't know what he did yesterday. He galloped fine, and he came back fine, cooled out fine. We were putting a bandage on him to go school him at 9:30, and, you know, the groom said, you better come look at this, and he was very sensitive on it, the touch and the flex. You know, but this morning he was a whole lot better in every respect. Not nearly as much feeling and not nearly as sensitive. And, you know, he walked, you know, he was 90% sound walking. You know, like I say, we x-rayed him yesterday and, you know, everything was clean. So, you know, we know that we're going to be fine. It's just a matter of when.
What do you do with him from here? Do you just walk him for a while and make sure he's sound and good, and then you'll get him back in and start working him back up to another race? Is that the plan?
Well, you know, I don't know. I might walk him under tack tomorrow. I mean, he's not ready to go back to the track. But, you know, he just walked my hand this morning for a good while, and, you know, we hosed him and stood him in ice just to try to get that thing settled down a little bit. And, you know, so we'll just have to take it day by day, but I don't think it's going to be something that's going to set us back too far. It could be, you know, I was looking earlier, it could be the True North end of the month, but that probably won't happen. It could be the Metropolitan, the 4th of July. We'll just have to see. Or, you know, we'll see what the state schedule is at Saratoga. It could be, you know, we might start him off there and just kind of have to maybe retrack our thoughts on where we're going to run him. You know, obviously, it'd be nice to get him to the Breeders' Cup, being in Lexington at Keeneland. But we'll take our time and hope everything comes together, and I'm sure that it will, and we'll take it from there. You know, like I say, I was relieved when we x-rayed him that it was clean, and I was very relieved this morning at what I saw, the improvement that he had made.
Well, Shug, you couldn't be in better hands, and I know that for you it's always been the horse first, and you'll take great care of Performer just like you do with all your horses, and really appreciate the visit here this morning. Thank you for spending some time, and all the best with Code of Honor later today.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Shug McGahee here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you heard, Performer, just a little minor issue. He'll be fine. And unfortunately, the morning line favorite for this afternoon's Run Happy Carter, not going to go to the post. And that's a disappointing hit for Shug McGahee. But you heard him say maybe by the Met Mile on the 4th of July, they get him back and he gets a little redemption at that point. In the meantime, Code of Honor, who you heard him say that, you know, working just tremendously for his return to action. He's a more mature horse physically, grown up a little bit from the last time we saw him in the Breeders' Cup Classic in November. A horse that we know loves Belmont Park, 2 for 3, including that win in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup over Vino Rosso last year, albeit by disqualification. Some people thought that that was not the right decision, that maybe Vino Rosso should have been the winner of the Jockey Club Gold Cup. But regardless, Code of Honor is his one in the record books when you look at that race. Be fun to see him today. You heard the Big A in the last segment talking about the mile and a 16th distance of that race and how that might be a bit of a challenge for Code of Honor coming off of the layoff. But the Westchester goes at 4:32 Eastern. It is race 7. On that 11-race program at Belmont today. And as I told you, four graded stakes. The Grade 2 Fort Marcy, that Grade 3 Westchester, you have the Grade 3 Intercontinental, and the Grade 1 Carter, which is the win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Sprint. A lot of action today. Of course, Santa Anita Derby Day out in California. I'm going to tell you more about that, and I'll look ahead to hour number 2. When I come back on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning 2-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his 3-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple graded stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
She's going to rocket home to win by 12 lengths in the end. Beautiful memories. Most impressive was she. Casadero. Finishing full of run through the lane, sails home the 8-length winner on the wire.
Well, how about those promising youngsters? The first two juvenile TDN Rising Stars of 2020 are both by Darley Stallions. Hardspun's 2-year-old daughter, Beautiful Memories, earned Rising Star status, winning on debut at Churchill Downs by 10 lengths on May 28th. The next day, Street Sense's 2-year-old son, Casadero, became a Rising Star, breaking his maiden on debut at Churchill by 8 lengths. Casadero's 81 buyer speed figure is the best for a 2-year-old so far this year, and that makes Beautiful Memories and Casadero your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Learn more about Hardspun, Street Sense, and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
The rest not of consequence with 5/16 to run. On the outside, Tiz the Law bids up boldly now to challenge FD Indian for the top. Chivalry at a huge number cuts the corner and tries to fight on. Gouverneur Morris is loose and charging on the far outside. Less than a quarter of a mile to go. Manny Franco sets down Tiz the Law and he's moving away. Chivalry is now outrunning FD Indian for second. Gouverneur Morris is now fourth. Less than a 16th to go in the Florida Derby, and it's time to respect the law. Tiz the Law is your Florida Derby winner. He won by three over Chivalry second, FA Indian third, then Gouverneur Morris and Independence Hall to complete the high five in 150 flat.
Well, if it wasn't for a quirky, sloppy track in the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill on November 30th, we might be talking about Tiz the Law being a perfect 5 for 5, but instead the Florida Derby winner is 4 for 5, and Pete Aiello had the call there coming out of the commercial break. The Florida Derby was a race you heard here on HRN March 28th, and that was the last time we saw Tiz the Law in action in the afternoon on the racetrack. We'll see him in 2 weeks as the likely favorite for the Belmont Stakes, the first step in a completely different Triple Crown series in horse racing this year. But Tiz the Law, very, very talented. I told you at the top of the show, I've said it a couple of times, I think he is the, and this is, you know, certainly not breaking news, but I think he is the leader of this class right now, and we'll see if he can validate those lofty expectations coming up in a couple of weeks. One turn, mile and an eighth at Belmont Park. I'm going to visit with his owner, Jack Knowlton, the Saratoga Stable, coming up in just a few minutes, shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern time. Second half of the program also includes Jim Lawson from Woodbine. The CEO there is a regular guest on this program. Looking forward to that visit to talk about the return of racing north of the border. It is such a welcome sight at so many tracks across the country and throughout North America to kind of get back to some sense of normalcy and at least have the horses out there run races in the afternoon. They'll do it safely. We'll talk to Jim about the new safety protocols that are in place and everything that they are doing to keep everyone safe and healthy as they get things started again later this afternoon. And then Lee Searing of CRK Stable. They have owned so many top horses over the years, and they send out Honor AP to take on Authentic, a rematch there. We'll see if he can turn the tables on Authentic later today in the Santa Anita Derby. Should be a lot of fun to visit with Lee coming up toward the end of the program. Don't forget, if you're looking for live streaming and replays from nearly any racetrack out there, check out RTN TV, the racetrack television network. RTN has the most HD content of any streaming service and is available on many devices, including TVs, PCs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV. And as a special treat for all of our listeners, if you use the promo code capital HRRN, you're going to get, how about this, your first 7 days of live streaming and replays absolutely free from RTN. That's a pretty cool way to try it out. RTN.TV is the place to go to sign up. And again, promo code HRRN for the first 7 days, absolutely free. And we have RTN in our studio that we use all the time, and it is fantastic. You sit there just like you're at the racetrack with that television feed. It's really cool. So go to RTN.TV and sign up today and get the first 7 days absolutely free with that promo code HRRN. Poll question of the day, and so many people are taking the time to respond, and thank you for that. Keep them coming. You can go to @HRN on our Twitter page. The Equine Forum question of the day: what is your favorite Belmont Stakes Day memory? And we're getting responses. 2015, El Potro Roberto, our friend from HRN in Espanol. 2015, those 20-plus minutes of celebration after American Pharoah crossed the wire in victory. Yeah, that was pretty special. The party went on forever that day. And I can still picture American Pharoah coming down to the wire from our broadcast position above the finish line. It was a special day. Let's see. Caveat up the fence. Let's see. I was in the paddock preview host at Lincoln Racecourse and selected Drosselmeyer to beat Fly Down. Ran 1-2 for a nice exacta and earn some good street cred for my handicapping efforts. I like that one. American Pharoah getting another vote. Allie Darn affirmed. Yeah, I figured that one would be in there. That's a special moment for so many people. Let's see, just a few of them. Union Rags getting up on the rail over Painter with Johnny V. That's pretty cool. And Frosted Palace Malice in the Met Miles. Again, your Belmont Stakes memories. He is moving like a tremendous machine. Secretariat. One of the great, most notable calls of all time. American Pharoah, absolutely electric. So there you go. Let us know your favorite Belmont Stakes Day memories. Again, this is supposed to be Belmont Day. We'll have to wait two more weeks for that on June 20th, but we'll have all that coverage for you exclusively here on HRN in partnership with NBC Sports Sports Audio. I can say that. And it all kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern on June 20th, presented by Red Brand Fence and Twin Spires. All right, going to get to hour number two right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's Allie Darn, affirmed, battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Allie Darn on the outside driving. Affirmed and Allie Darn heads apart. Affirmed's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Preakness winner, the Derby winner. 1-2 with the 16th left in the Belmont. Cancel, pull out, strike the gold. One last powerful thrust. Cancel! Holds on by a desperate head.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
With one furlong to go, Painter is still there. Smith imploring him for one more furlong. And here comes Union Rags unleashing a final furious rally to win the Belmont Stakes by a nose over Painter.
And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Rolling on. Busy morning. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, my interviews with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out a podcast of this entire show. It will be posted after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts, another way that you can tune in and listen to the shows afterwards. Again, hour number two going to feature Jack Knowlton coming up shortly. I'll get a chance to visit with him, talking about the likely Belmont favorite, Tis the Law. Jim Lawson from Woodbine at right around 9:20 Eastern. And then Lee Searing, the owner of CRK Stable, talking about Honor AP, getting a rematch with Authentic in today's Santa Anita Derby. All of that ahead here in hour number two. Time now to turn our attention to the Belmont Stakes 2 weeks from today. We've been talking about it a little bit in the first half of the program, did a lot with Big A in that interview, but now I get a chance to talk to the man who will send out the likely favorite in that race, Tis the Law. He has been spectacular, and Jack Knowlton from Saratoga Stables is with me now here on HRRN. Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
I've been saying it all along. I think that Tis the Law is that at the head of the class here. I know there are some others who have been pretty good, including Charlatan, who we might have to face, and maybe Maxfield, but this horse has been brilliant, Jack.
Well, you know, he started out brilliantly at Saratoga last year, won his maiden race here, and the fastest buyer speed figure that any two-year-old had at the Saratoga meet. And then Barclay Tagg and I, Barclay, of course, is his trainer, had a lot of discussion about where do we go next, and do we take the same route we went with Funnyside and go to a New York bred stake after Saratoga, or do we jump into the deep end of the pool and go to the Champagne? And he was training so well, and I looked at the numbers, and Barclay and I ended up agreeing, let's take a shot. And he went to the Champagne, he won there, and little bump in the road when we went to the Kentucky Jockey Club. We caught a messy track and a tough trip and finished third, but beaten only three quarters of a length. And then Holy Bull in Florida Derby, he won pretty convincingly both of those races. And then we've just been waiting and waiting. And it's going to be, I guess, about 10 or 11 weeks until we get to Belmont. But he's won his two races this year off an 8 and 9 week layoff, so we know that Barkley can have him ready.
Jack, did you ever think after Funnyside that you'd be sitting here with another horse that is this talented and this good? I know it's always the dream in thoroughbred racing, but did you really believe you'd be sitting there with another one that was this good?
No way in the world. I mean, and it wasn't something that, you know, really ever was in our mind. As you know, we're a small operation. We typically have three or four horses. We'll only buy New York breds, and, you know, we don't typically spend a lot of money. So, you know, for us, if you can get a New York bred that can run in the New York Stakes races, that to us is successful. And we've got a four-year-old filly that just won her second-level allowance down at Gulfstream named Nikki Dream. And she was a horse that last year ran second in two of the Stallion Stakes races in New York. For us, that is really achieving what we hope to achieve. And then having, you know, a horse come out like Tez is just, you know, talk about lightning striking twice, but nothing that was ever planned, nothing that, you know, we were ever chasing. But, you know, Barkley Tagg and Robin Smullen, they act as our bloodstock agents when we go to the sales, and they have eyes for good horses. And fortunately, you know, we hit another first crop sire that turned out to be tremendous with Constitution.
Yeah, and it's such a unique approach, too, Jack, with only buying New York breds. Talk about that philosophy and that approach to your business.
Well, I live in Saratoga, and, you know, we have the Fazzy Tipton sales every year, and it's a great great yearling sale up here, and we've been buying here for a number of years. And the New York bred program is just a tremendous program. I mean, you get an opportunity to run your maiden, your first-level allowance, your second-level allowance in restricted company, and there are a lot of stakes races that are restricted for New York breds, and if you have a sire that actually stands in New York, they have the Stallion Stakes races that last year they added a $500,000 race at the end of the year for fillies and one for colts and geldings. So, you know, when we're looking to buy horses, and I'm going back, you know, 10 years or so now, it was expensive to buy Kentucky horses, Florida horses, and the like, but New York bred horses were pretty reasonable. To some extent, that has changed, but still the opportunities for success, we feel, at a level that we play at, are better with New York breds than any other way.
Jack, occasionally we'll see relationships last for many, many years in this sport, and you've been privileged to be associated with Barkley and Robin for many, many years and for a long time, and I'm just curious, what makes that relationship work so well?
Well, I mean, I think there are a number of factors. One is I have total trust and faith in how Barkley and Robin run their business. They're both tremendous horse people, very experienced, and their life is devoted to horses. They take 1 week's vacation around Christmas time, go to one of the islands. Other than that, it's 7 days a week, you know, 51 weeks a year. They're with the horses. They're there in the morning, they're there in the afternoon, and Barkley checks the horse's legs in the evening before he goes to bed. So that's one thing. And then we get along, you know, by and large, probably 90-95% of the decisions that get made with regard to the horses are, you know, on Barkley's advice. You know, we'll discuss things sometimes once in a while, you know, I'll, you know, want to do something and may not think that it's the greatest idea, but, you know, we'll work it out. And I think that's really what it is. And I tell everybody, they say, well, you're still with Barkley Tagg. And I say, well, you know, you have a trainer that you won the Kentucky Derby with. Why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah, it certainly makes sense to stick with what works. Talking with Jack Knowlton, owner of Saratoga Stables, they'll send out the likely favorite in the Belmont Stakes in 2 weeks, Tis the Law. Of course, they enjoyed a wonderful run with Funny Side, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But in regards to Tis the Law again, Jack, if you were to point to one or two things that you could put your finger on and say, this is what makes this horse so special, what are they?
Well, I think one thing is, Robin loves to say, nothing phases this horse. I mean, he is laid back, and he's just great around the stable, doesn't get excited. So just his demeanor, I think, is very important. And then secondly, he has a burst, and we've seen it you know, in some of his races where, you know, he's in the middle of a race and all of a sudden he's just past everybody. And I haven't seen too many thoroughbreds that have that. And we really don't know, you know, where his bottom is, because if you look at the races that he's won, all four of them, he's won them by at least four lengths. And he hasn't, you know, the jock hasn't had to go to the stick to get him to do it. He just does it on his own. So we're very excited now going into the Triple Crown season. We certainly would have preferred to have been at Churchill the first Saturday in May. I think that Barkley had him absolutely perfectly positioned for that. But now we'll go the other route and hopefully, you know, follow up a Belmont with a Travers and then the Derby reposition and then the Preakness.
Did you immediately adjust your strategy after the Florida Derby and the timing of his works and all those types of things to make sure that he was ready when the Triple Crown got started again?
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating because, you know, for a while we didn't know what was going to happen
right then.
You know, the Derby, you know, change came pretty quickly. But we didn't know, you know, really until a couple of weeks ago what the real schedule was going to be. So, I mean, Barkley, you know, backed off him a bit after the Florida Derby. And, you know, we just kind of waited to see what was going to happen when. I mean, we expected possibly that there'd be a race, you know, around the beginning of June instead of 3 weeks into June. But that didn't happen. But if you look at, you know, the series of works he's had, you know, every week pretty much, you know, Barkley will, you know, give him a little bit of a stiff work, and then the next week he'll back off. And that's kind of been the pattern. But, you know, he'll probably have a couple good works here at Belmont starting tomorrow, I think.
Talking with Jack Knowlton, Saratoga Stable, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You know, Jack, in the first half of the program, I was visiting with Shug McGahey, and we were talking about Code of Honor. And I asked him if the Derby last year were run in September, considering what that horse did in the fall, does he think that maybe he would have won the Kentucky Derby with that horse? And, you know, nobody knows for sure. He doesn't have a crystal ball, but he said he was definitely a better horse in the fall than he was in the spring. Now, Tis the Law was pretty darn good in the spring. How do you keep him and make sure that he's still peaking when we get to the Derby on September 5th?
Well, you know, that's a question that I'm not sure that, you know, we have an answer to. I mean, the good thing is, you know, he's been a lightly raced horse. And Barkley and I, you know, when we set the schedule for this year, we said, you know, Holy Bull, Florida Derby. And, you know, there's literally a two-month gap in there. And then it would be, you know, 5 weeks to the Kentucky Derby. And that's what we thought would happen. And we, you know, had a lot of faith that he would be able to get the points that he would need for the Kentucky Derby in the Florida Derby, and obviously he did that. But now we've got a very fresh horse coming into the prime season. As I said, it's about a 9-week layoff from the Florida Derby, or 11-week layoff, I'm sorry, the Florida Derby to the Belmont. Then presumably, you know, I'm hearing that probably August 8th will be the Travers. So we'll have another 6 weeks there, then 4 weeks to the Derby and 4 weeks to the Preakness. You know, typically, you know, Triple Crown season, you got 5 weeks for three races. So this is pretty stretched out, and I really think that, you know, we're going into this in a very good position.
Yeah, I would say so. Tis the Law Again, likely favorite in the Belmont 2 weeks from today. We'll have the coverage for you exclusively here on HRN in partnership with NBC Sports Audio. The coverage begins 3 o'clock Eastern time. You'll be able to visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to see a listing of affiliates and all of the SiriusXM channel information. Jack, let's spend a few minutes looking back to 2003 and that unbelievable run that you had with Funnyside. I know that over the years you've been asked about him multiple times, and it never gets old looking back on his career and talking about him, does it?
No, it doesn't. He was a tremendous racehorse for us. Obviously, my first time to have a horse of any kind of magnitude like that. And what was particularly fun was that, I started Saratoga Stable with five guys that I went to high school with, and we formed the core of the early iteration of Saratoga Stable. Again, we wanted to buy a New York bred and have an opportunity to see him race at Saratoga. That's kind of how it got started. And, 8 horses later, we end up with a horse that, is going for the Triple Crown. And, never forget it. Fortunately, we were able to continued to have him on a racetrack for a total of 6 years. And now he's in the Kentucky Horse Park and Hall of Champions. And a lot of fans get there to see him, and he's doing very, very well. He just turned 20 this year.
Yeah, spectacular. Tom Durkin called him the Gutsy Gelding, and I think a lot of people remember him now as the Gutsy Gelding. How appropriate was that phrase when Tom used it to describe Funnyside?
Well, I think it really was appropriate, because if you look throughout his career, he won some races. Probably the Jockey Gold Cup as a 4-year-old, when you talk about a gutsy horse, and Tom had the call there, and coming around the fourth turn, Tom says, and Funnyside's falling back, and what and we thought the same thing watching it in person. But Jose was just giving him a little break, and he knew the horse, and then he came between horses and ended up winning the Jockey Gold Cup. And I think that was just the epitome of the kind of horse he was. And, he ran, he was on the racetrack for 6 years and won 11 races, about $3.5 million, and won a stake every year except one of the years that he was on the track.
And he really didn't disappoint when he came to the Belmont Stakes. There's so much pressure going for the Triple Crown, especially in 2003, since it hadn't happened, since affirmed. But he comes there, he runs his eyeballs out, and he just maybe got a little tired late from the, running in the other two races. He was in with Empire Maker, who maybe was better suited to the mile and a half distance. There were a lot of things working against him. But I can imagine, Jack, that at the end of that race, even though you were disappointed, you had to be extremely proud with the way that he represented.
Oh, there was no question. And, unfortunately, it started raining about 8:30 in the morning when we got on our school buses to go to Belmont. And the longer the day went, the harder it rained. And he was just very, very rank. Jose had a very difficult time with him. He wanted to be changing leads going in the first turn. And as you said, we got beat by, a horse that was bred a lot better than we were for the mile and a half. He had, 5 weeks between races after, the Derby. And we ended up in that race, and I pay a lot of attention to buyer speed figures. We ran 104 buyer in that race getting beat. And that number would have won better than half of the Belmonts the next 10, 12 years.
Any school buses booked for this year, Jack?
As long as we get to Louisville, absolutely.
I love it. We will look forward to that in September. And listen, all the best coming up in 2 weeks in the Belmont Stakes. You got a special horse there, and let's keep it rolling, my friend. Thanks for spending a little time here this morning.
No, thank you very much. And we're hoping beyond hope maybe to be able to be there to see it ourselves.
Yeah, that would be awful nice. It looks like a lot of tracks are starting to allow fans. Hopefully Belmont can follow suit if they can do it safely. It would be great to have everybody there. Jack, appreciate
Absolutely.
The visit. All right, Jack Knowlton here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. always a lot of fun to catch up with him and remember Funny Side. And now here he is again. Never in his wildest dreams did he ever think with an operation like his he'd be in this position again. He is, and 'tis the law now has to show up and prove that he's worthy of those lofty expectations in 2 weeks. All right, when I come back, we'll turn our attention north of the border to Woodbine. I'll visit with CEO Jim Lawson. That's on the Equine Forum on HRRN, and it is all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Racing is back at Churchill Downs every Thursday through Sunday with a first post each day of 1 p.m. Eastern. Although spectator-free, Churchill Downs offers great wagering opportunities with big fields and horses coming from all over the country. The meet concludes Saturday, June 27th with a huge card highlighted by five graded stakes, including the Grade 2 Stephen Foster, a win in your in for the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis, with the winner punching her ticket to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Visit ChurchillDowns.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, thoroughbred jockey, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Zaw approvals in fourth position, then Trade Storm riding the river as they arrive at the top of the stretch in the Rico Woodbine Mile, and Johnny Velasquez gives the green light to Wise Dan, and his response is instantaneous. And Wise Dan has taken the lead, and they come to the final furlong. Zaw approval in a full-out drive in second. Johnny hasn't moved on Wise Dan. Wise Dan, here he is, the titan of the turf, the sensational Wise Dan. Zaw approval was second. Trade Storm third, and riding the river was fourth.
Whenever you can get Dan Loisel's voice on the program, you try to do it. And Wise Dan winning back-to-back runnings of the Woodbine Mile, that was in 2013. There have been so many unbelievable horses to win one of Woodbine's signature races, and we'll look forward to the Woodbine Mile coming up later this fall. That will be a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile division. And that Rico Woodbine Mile coming up on September 19th with a revised stakes schedule. It was so good to hear that Woodbine would be back in action again. The racing beginning later today. Great program, too. And I know that that is welcome news to my next guest, who is Jim Lawson, the CEO of that top-notch racetrack north of the border. Jim, appreciate the visit, my friend. Thanks for being here.
Hey, great to be on again. And it was fun for me to hear Danny. I'm
continue a close friendship with Mr. Lozell, and it's always nice to hear that replay. Plus 2012 too. He back to back for Wise Dan and back to back for Dan Lozell, because that was one of his favorites, given the name. So a great memory there. Thank you.
Yeah, one of the true good guys in the game. You know, I can tell you that every time that we have been to Woodbine to broadcast the Queen's Plate the last, I guess, 4 years or so, every single year, Dan Lozell makes a point to come over and say hello in the press box and to wish us good luck with the coverage. He is all class.
Yeah, good man. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, he'll visit you again this year, I'm sure, once if we can get you guys up.
Yeah, it would be great to return to Woodbine. Hopefully we can be there for the Queen's Plate again. First of all, congratulations on finally getting to the end of what has been an extremely long road. I know that nobody is happier to see racing return than you and the entire team at Woodbine, Jim.
Yeah, certainly for everyone in the industry, it's been a long road, as we appreciate, within different states and racing jurisdictions getting going. We were in a particular situation in Ontario where there really was a declaration of emergency that shut everything down, and the economy here in Ontario is just starting to open up. Restaurants and bars are still not open, but we worked very hard, quite frankly, directly with the government in making a case that racing can go on a safe basis with appropriate protocols, including no spectators. And we're very proud of our team that worked together to get us into what effectively was the first phase of reopening of the province. So we're excited. We were at Mohawk last night for the Harness Horses, and today it's Woodbine. So it's a great weekend. The weather's beautiful, and what could be better than opening day at Woodbine here in nice weather?
What different protocols will you need to have in place for this particular meet, at least in the short term now, Jim?
Well, much like other racetracks, one thing that we are doing on our entire property is masks. And as you've seen in some other jurisdictions, the jockeys, for example, will have masks from the time the entire time in the jocks room till through the paddock and right up until the starting gate. And so that will be one thing that people will notice. Only essential personnel. We're not letting owners and any other people onto the grounds, quite frankly, other than essential personnel, which in case of racing will be the groom and the trainer and the jock and a valet. So we'll it'll be tight in terms of who we let view the races, and physical distancing and cleaning protocols, hygiene protocols. We've installed new doors in the jocks room, so it'll be in and out doors and made a number of other measures like that that will maintain physical distancing. So we're hoping for the best. We've been running our backstretch now for 3 months without any issues. So we're very proud of that, and it bodes well for getting live racing going on a safe basis today.
Yeah, and I know even here in the States, there are certain racetracks, like Louisiana Downs, for example, that are able to welcome fans back in a very limited capacity, but at least there will be some folks in attendance. And as you mentioned, Woodbine, like many tracks, well, every track really, has welcomed racing back, but you can't do it with fans quite yet. I had a conversation, Jim, with my friend Sean Byrne at the University of Louisville yesterday, and we were talking a little bit about the economic impact of not having fans in attendance, and I think sometimes that gets overlooked, but not by you, I'm sure. With racetracks, when they're getting wagering dollars from ADWs, you're not getting the full percentage like you would if people are betting on track. So how challenging is it to keep things moving in the right direction when you don't have fans?
Well, there's definitely a challenge. I mean, the big difference for us, and you hit the nail on the head, is the difference in margins between our home market area and the ADW market, a big portion of which is in the United States. And we're going to study that this week, because it'll be very interesting to see how much is our home market area. And Woodbine does, you know, control the Ontario market in the sense of the wagering goes through our HPI system. And first of all, it's a matter of converting all those people that would normally go to the 15 racetracks in the province, 13 of which are harness tracks, but they serve as simulcast outlets. So then we have over 60 licensed off-track betting establishments called Champions Loungers that we run. And we need to convert in our home market, relative to the question you just asked, Mike, about margins. We need to convert those people onto our HPI system. And that is going to be the trick for us. I think we'll do very well on wagering, but as you suggest, if the bulk of our wagering is through American outlets, then the margins are thin. And on our home product and our home area, Ontario wagering, we do well. So let's hope, as we see good numbers, and I expect we will today, that we've been able to convert a lot of the Ontario wagers onto our HPI system and bet through that, because that certainly is a key to our survival. So we're hoping that works, and we're going to do a big marketing job on that in the coming weeks to make sure we get as many people converted as possible.
Visiting with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Jim, I mentioned the Rico Woodbine Mile, and that day is going to be really special when we get there in September, Saturday, September 19th. Talk about some of the other highlights that people can look forward to with this revised stakes schedule for the 2020 season.
Well, it's going to be an exciting season. I mean, we've maintained our purses, our Ontario bonuses. Our maiden races are now up over 100,000. We've maintained our stakes program. The keys are, again, the Triple Crown, which will be led off by the Plate Trial Stakes, which is the main prep along with the Canadian Oaks. For fillies on August the 15th, the Queen's Plate scheduled to be run on September the 12th, the week before the mile. And then the Canadian Triple Crown will follow that September 19th. Of course, it's a big turf weekend. We'll have the mile, but we also have, which is a win and you're in, and in addition, the Natalma in the summer, which are win and you're ins and have become big prep races for the Breeders' Cup now, just very popular races. And our team, both with the mile and with the Natalma in the summer, they've done a great job marketing that as the stepping stone into the Breeders' Cup. So we'll get great fields this weekend. That weekend, NBC Sports will be up to broadcast it, and we're excited about that. The other highlight this year is we signed a broadcasting deal this week with TSN, which is the major sports network across Canada, and we're having a show starting Thursday night called Racing Night Live, and it's going to be just terrific to be on a main national network on primetime, 6 o'clock on 6 to 8 on Thursday night, and that's just going to be great for our customers. And of course, TSN will show our major stakes this year too, including the Queen's Plate and the Plate Trial and Oaks that day and the Mile. So it's going to be a fun year. I'm excited about it. It's a little overdue, of course, for everyone, but we're ready to go.
Yeah, very positive news, and can't wait to see horses back on the track in the afternoon at Woodbine. First post, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern today. It's an 11-race card, and starting to get back to a little bit of normalcy north of the border and in our sport all over North America. Jim, listen, as always, appreciate the visit. You're always very gracious with your time, and I know I hit you up on short notice yesterday, but I appreciate you coming on to fill people in, and can't wait to watch later on this afternoon.
Always thrilled to be on your show, Mike, and I hope you're all doing well, and take care, and wish everyone the best of luck, and not just at Woodbine, but across North America racing. It's glad we're all getting going again, and in particular, the horse people across the continent deserve it, and all the customers that have been loyal. So we're excited about it, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well said. Jim Lawson here on HRN, and looking forward to, again, watching that at Woodbine today. And that stakes schedule that they have, it's awesome. It is really good, and those races just tremendous. They attract so many top horses, and let's hope that things stay on track, and by the time we get to those big races in the fall, that we are somewhat past some of the pandemic issues that have been forcing us to wait on the sidelines for the big races, the return. But my thanks to Jim. Of course, all of our interviews are brought to you every Saturday on the Equine Forum by Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. And what better time than right now to go to EmbraceTheRace.com. You're sitting at home. Maybe you're home more often these days. You can go online, EmbraceTheRace.com. Type it in. And, yeah, that's my little sound effect for typing right there. All right, so let's do this. Let's get to another break. When I come back, we'll turn our attention westward. I told you it's a big day at Santa Anita Oaks, Santa Anita Derby, Hollywood Gold Cup, part of what is a stellar card. I'm going to visit with owner Lee Searing of CRK Stables. They'll get ready to send out Honor AP in the Santa Anita Derby later today. We'll do that when I return on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Adena Springs Homebred Champion Macho Uno is a proven source of classic speed and a great stallion to start off young mares. Macho Uno's runners average $88,000, higher than the likes of Malibu Moon and More Than Ready. He's the sire of 5 Grade 1 winners and 3 classic horses, including multiple Grade 1 winning Sprinter and Miler Private Zone and Breeders' Cup Classic Champion Mucho Macho Man, who is now North America's number one third crop sire, having produced this year's sensational Pegasus World Cup hero, Mucho Gusto, along with Del Mar Grade 2 winner and Grade 1 place, Mucho Unusual, Stakes winner, Mucho Amor, multiple graded placed, Bellora, and $575,000 juvenile and TDN Rising Star, Fortin Hill. Mucho Macho Man's juveniles average $122,000 at the OBS March sale, higher than Liam's Map, Hard Spun, and Uncle Mo. Macho Uno and Mucho Macho Man, standing the 2020 season for $10,000 at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino continues its summer meet this weekend with the $1 million Ruidoso Futurity and $900,000 Ruidoso Derby. Don't miss your chance to watch and wager on the first leg of the Quarter Horse Triple Crown. You'll find a simulcast broadcast of Ruidoso Downs races along with free PPs at raceruidoso.com. Visit your favorite ADW provider to place your bet on quarter horse racing from the mountains of New Mexico. Ruidoso Downs Racetrack and Casino, home to the world's richest quarter horse race, the All-American Futurity. Guaranteed excitement? You bet.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Honor AP moves up on the outside, trying to get into second now. Then it's Wrecking Crew. Thousand Words has lost ground. He's 5 lengths off Authentic. As the field turns for home, Honor AP is coming after Authentic. Authentic the leader. Honor AP chasing with determination. Then Storm the Court there in the final furlong. And it's Authentic who's still very strong on the front end. And he pulls away with authority. Authentic is undefeated as he will romp in the San Felipe. A very easy 2.5 lengths. Honor AP, a solid comeback. Storm the Court, third. Thousand Words was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented all month long by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, continuing with a very busy two-hour program this morning. That was Frank Miramati with the call of Authentic and Honor AP coming down to the wire in the Grade 2 San Felipe Stakes at Santa Anita on March 7th. Unfortunately for the connections of Honor AP, Authentic just a little better that day. He won by 2.25 lengths, but they get a rematch this afternoon in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. And for the connections of Honor AP, they are indeed hoping that he can find a way to turn the tables on his rival. And I'm joined now by owner Lee Searing of CRK Stable, the owners of Honor AP. He is up early on the West Coast to be with me this morning. Lee, first of all, good morning and appreciate the visit.
Well, absolutely. Good morning to you all.
Lee, considering all of your success that you've had in the game, I thought it would be appropriate that we honor you this week as our industry star of the week. This segment is presented by our friend Stuart Morris, who, of course, consigns horses and does a tremendous job at all the major sales across the country. But, you know, for you and for all the owners that have had to hang in through a very difficult time with the pandemic, congratulations. It has been a long road, and it is great to see things turning around just a little bit out there in California and across the country.
Yeah, actually, it has been a very long road for people like me. I've been doing this for 54 years when I bought my first horse, but I did, and congratulations to Santa Anita finally to be able to put the owners over on the corner, at least, to watch the morning gallops and workouts. I would hope they're close to doing the same thing for owners for race day, even if it's just for the race. But that hasn't happened yet, but they've made some strides, and I did enjoy going out and watching the morning workouts a couple times.
Lee, we're going to spend plenty of time talking about Honor AP and touch on some of the other top horses you've had the privilege to own over the years. But take me back to the beginning for you a little bit. Where did the love of horse racing begin for Lee Searing?
Well, it's a pretty long story. 1956, I actually was an altar boy in the Catholic Church, and that's when my father got the bug through my grandfather to attend the races on the weekends. And starting when I was 8 years old, I never missed a Saturday, at Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, Del Mar. Never missed a Sunday at Caliente. So that continued all the way into my high school years, with my parents and myself and friends. And I owned my first horse when I was 18 years old with my father. It was a $2,000 claiming horse from Caliente. I'll never forget him because I have a horse with Peter Erton named Secret Touch, and that's the name of that horse. And short of the about 10 years where we started our company, and horses are very expensive, and that was not the time to be investing in horses. So I got out of racing for 10 years, but got back in and wanted to get into it in a meaningful way. I'm definitely in it now, and I enjoy every moment of owning these horses and owning some broodmares and the people that I get to work around because they're just the best.
Yeah, you roped your wife Susan in too. She's all in.
Well, she's not all in, but she does love to go, and she does love to win. I don't know if I got her all in, but I'm all in.
Yeah, it's a great game. What is it, Lee, about this sport that just seems to grab you when you get hooked on it?
Well, you know, even going back to those days when you go out to the racetrack and you see some of the most beautiful animals, and then you see the greatest horses. And then you learn a little bit more and you see the greatest breeding lines. And then you're around, horses growing up. And you see older horses that, can't run as fast anymore, never could run as fast. And then you see these brilliant, brilliant horses that I've seen over these years. It gets in your blood. It was in my father's blood. It was in my grandfather's blood. I have a family that my brother was a trainer for a lot of years. He loved it. He's not in the business anymore. I seem to be the only one, that absolutely is so passionate, about it on a daily basis. I have just enjoyed the absolute best of over the years, the best of being around people, John Sadler was a great trainer for us. Peter Erton's a great trainer for us. John Sheriffs has been an enjoyment to see him. I can't see him enough back by the barn. That's sad because John offers, my wife calls him a horse whisperer, but we have a woman trainer back in Kentucky now named Cherie DeVoe, and she's doing a great job. So I've enjoyed the best of the horses and the best of wonderful people, grooms, hot walkers, friends that are hot walkers, exercise riders. So had a lot of fun doing it.
So if I go into Lee Searing's house and I look at maybe some pictures that are there or memorabilia of top horses that you've had the privilege to own over the years, what are some of the things that I'm going to see and some of the horses that I'm going to remember when I take that trip down memory lane?
Yeah, some of them are memorable. We bought our first horse, a horse named Hasty Chris, who turned out to be our first two-year-old that we spent some money on. He was a wonderful sprinter, we had a lot of fun with him. He raced till he was seven, and then I retired him rather than put him in claiming races. And then we bought our new recruit the next year. So it was like one horse one year. And then the next year we come right back with a horse named our new recruit who went on to win multiple stakes races but won the Golden Shaheen over in Dubai. That was one of the most interesting stories. It'd take your whole show to tell you. But John Sadler did a great job with that horse. But he did a better job with my wife. He never let her out of her sight over in Dubai back in 2004. But we named a horse named Dr. Park after a famous veterinarian on the racetrack who remains today, a very, very good friend. And, We've won some races with claiming horses, stakes races with claiming horses, that are good horses named C-Band and other horses. But when we took a step up, about maybe 6 years ago with a bloodstock agent named David and Gordo, I decided that I was either going to get it done or try to get it done. That's a better word, try to get it done, on a higher level. I'm a very motivated person, whether it's in my company, whether it's my life, or whether it's these horses. And the horses kind of drive you to want to find a better way, to try to be able to compete with these big stables and these big people that race horses. But we really are, I would say, put the pedal to the metal. We really are trying, to compete.
Yeah, I mean, top horses, you look back on Switch, Kobe's back,
yeah.
Candy Boy, who made his way down the road to the Kentucky Derby, I guess about 6 years ago or so. There have been a lot of top horses, and now we turn our attention to Honor AP, who is right there at the head of the class, or at least trying to get to the head of the class, if he can knock off a horse like Authentic later today.
Well, Honor AP was bought as a yearling, out of the Saratoga sale by David, and he called me and he said, George Krikorian, probably going to sell a couple horses off of this great Mayor Hollywood story that John Sheriff trained. And he said, the first one here, Lee, is a female, and we bought her, and she's 1 year older than Honor AP, and her name's Hollywood Girl, and she's had some ups and some downs, but she's a beautiful, beautiful horse, and we'll keep her because her breeding is impeccable. But the next year, here come this beautiful colt, and I looked at pictures. I couldn't go back to buy it, and we didn't think we had the money. We really didn't have the money. The horse went for, more money than we thought it would go for. But, when you look at this horse, you say, wow, this is an opportunity. He's tied into Lane's End Farm, which is Davidson tied into. He's tied into AP Indy, which I thought was one of the greatest horses of all time. He's tied into this Mayor Hollywood story, tied into John Sheriff. So when we saw him down in Florida, when they were breaking him, everybody said, wow, you got something. He comes to the track, and the exercise rider immediately says, all the girls are looking at this horse. He's just unbelievable, and they're calling him a Chickmeister. I thought that was, pretty funny. But when he goes on the track, he's a beautiful horse with a very long stride, barely touches the ground, much like Authentic, who is a very good horse. I hope this time, obviously we have I think, some work to do, but I think our horse is a little more ready this time than last time. A little longer, too, which is good for us.
Yeah, visiting with Lee Searing, owner of CRK Stable. Again, Honor AP taking on Authentic in a rematch of that San Felipe Stakes from March 7th. The race coming up is race number 8 at Santa Anita this afternoon. You do have the services of his regular rider, Big Money Mike Smith, the Hall of Famer, who seems to show up on the big stage. So that, you know, that, Lee, has to make you feel pretty good, too.
Well, Mike and John have a special relationship. And it is, and besides Mike being a Hall of Fame jockey, and he puts rides on horses that over the years that people just stand back and say, how'd you do that? We just watched Arrowgate, how he got that horse, and that was a great horse. But he rides great horses with great enthusiasm, great smarts. Just appreciate Mike riding this horse. He likes the horse. He might love the horse. But we got a lot of work to do ahead of us today and in these next races. And the horse is finally doing really good. Hasn't missed one work, one gallop. Just really, really excited.
You know, Lee, oftentimes when I visit with trainers on this program, they'll talk about some of the things that they learned over the years as they went down the road to the Kentucky Derby or to the Breeders' Cup and some adjustments that they might make from that experience when they get there again. You were there in 2014 with Candy Boy. So how about for an owner? Are there things that you learn on the ownership side that you adjust to or maybe you make some changes to or you just get better with experience? Are there things like that for an owner too?
I think this is a great example of how good Bob Baffert is, how good John Sheriff is in these big moments. But Bob Baffert in these 3-year-old races, he's got the experience. He definitely has the horses. He knows what to do with them, where to take them. We did get to go with Candy Boy, and it was one of the most exciting things. I kind of got lost a little bit. When it started for the walkover and then how fast, they saddle the horses and then they scoot you through 100,000 people. And then by the time you get to your seat, the race goes off. if I learn the next time, I'm going to, watch, enjoy. But the rest of that experience was truly tremendous. And he was a very good horse, just got a really bad break. And Jerry Stevens rode him. But you know what? We look forward to getting there again and other big races that are coming up.
With a horse like Honor AP, were you happy to see the Kentucky Derby shifted to the fall this year?
Well, I'll just use what John said. We were ready to run May 5th. And you know what? He's probably going to have this race. And whatever John says, he'll definitely have another one. But it did matter whether we were on a plane going on May 5th. And it sure not matter if we're there healthy and ready to go, September 5th.
Well, Lee, I can tell you obviously have a passion for the sport. You can hear it in your voice. It's been a lot of fun to hear your story and to look back on some of the top horses you've had the privilege to be part of. And really appreciate the visit. I appreciate you getting up early and all the best with Honor AP coming up in the Santa Anita Derby later today.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, Lee Searing, CRK Stable. He is our industry star of the week and representing all owners who have had such a difficult time trying to just keep the ship afloat during the past few months. And that segment brought to you by our good friend Stuart Morris. And when you think about Stuart, you think about somebody who just does things the right way with his horses. And he offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation. He wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. I tell you this every week. His success is because of you, and he knows that. With multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris, your source for success at the highest levels. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales coming up later this summer and fall. All right, I'll get to another break. I'll come back and tell you what's ahead here on the network. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown.
Power.
Tappert is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Tappert. Tappert still in front. Master Plan too late. Tappert will do it.
Passion.
It's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill.
Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
It is Tappret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Tappret, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Tappret set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Tappret ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. His exceptional first foals are arriving now. Tappret, standing for $12,500 at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Eclipse champion Blame. Ranked among the top stallions of his crop, Blame has sired over 50 stakes horses. His recent top performers include Kentucky Derby hopefuls Nadal, a $700,000 juvenile purchase and winner of the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, and Shotsky, winner of the Grade 2 Remsen Stakes. Plus, recent Grade 1 performers Mississippi, Alandra, and Natalma Stakes winner Abscond. Outstanding value, outstanding results. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Good news! Live racing has resumed at Santa Anita Park, and although the public will not yet be admitted, you can play the races at the Great Race Place by logging on to First Bet. That's the number one, stbet.com, or you can download it at the App Store. First post time for a blockbuster 11-race program on Saturday is at 12:30, and you want to be sure to watch and wager on what promises to be the biggest day of the year is the Grade 1 $400,000 Run Happy Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 1 $300,000 Hollywood Gold Cup, and the Grade 2 $200,000 Santa Anita Oaks will highlight the card, which will also include four other stakes. Fans, please know that Santa Anita looks forward to welcoming everyone back as soon as conditions merit, and that we will continue to conduct world-class racing through closing day Sunday, June 21st. So be sure you're ready to play at firstbet.com or via expressbet.com. Santa Anita, world-class racing every Friday through Sunday.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Well, Blood Horse's print and digital publications and its sister publication, Keeneland Magazine, were honored recently with a total of 16 awards. Think about that. That was during the 50th American Horse Publications Media Awards presentation. Blood Horse Daily was honored as the best equine-related electronic publication. And you can keep up to date with what's going on in our industry. All you have to do is download the free Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. You can get started right now by going to bloodhorse.com/daily. And inside the June 6th issue of Blood Horse Magazine, don't miss the many feature stories, including Lifestyle, a walk through Glen Hill Farm, which is Craig Burnick's Ocala Farm, which provides foundation and consistency. Frank Angst has that story. Bringing the Gulf, Mike Lakehow lends his expertise at Gulfstream Park. Lenny Schulman has that feature. All of those available at Blood Horse. You can download a copy of Blood Horse Magazine and tablet today from the App Store or Google Play. Go to shop.bloodhorse.com to sign up. Great stuff from Blood Horse. Let's see. My thanks to all of our guests for making this show possible this morning. Kicked it off with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, at 8:15 Eastern. Then came Shug McGahee, the Hall of Famer, who talked about his contender code of honor as a performer is scratched from the races today. Jack Knowlton, 9 o'clock Eastern. Jim Lawson from Woodbine at 9:20. And Lee Searing just a few moments ago talking about Honor AP. And all of that making for a very, very busy program. My thanks to everyone who took time to weigh in with our question of the day at HRN on Twitter. You can keep those responses coming. asked you to share your favorite Belmont Stakes Day memories. American Pharoah getting some votes, plenty of votes there. The Big Red Machine Secretariat had a cool one about arts and letters. That was a neat one. Smarty Jones rounding the turn at the top of the stretch. Lemon Drop Kid. Remember Lemon Drop Kid? Another memory. Again, keep them coming at HRN on Twitter. Well, the Belmont Stakes, just 2 weeks away, will be there with exclusive coverage in partnership with NBC Sports Audio here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As a matter of fact, we partnered with them to bring you coverage of all three Triple Crown races this year. You can head to our website, horseracingradio.net, for more information and to listen to a podcast of this program. Now for my producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening, and as always, go Steelers!